Well, this morning I'd like to talk about Rahab, and my reading was from Joshua chapter 2. I remember preaching about Rahab in the country, and a lady came up to me after I'd preached, and she said to me, "My story is a bit of a Rahab story." She'd had a very difficult life, but she'd found the Lord Jesus as her Saviour. And the Lord Jesus made all the difference to her life. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at Joshua chapter 1, and we saw in verse 8 that the word success is mentioned there, and it's only mentioned once in the entire Bible, and that's in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And success for the believer relates directly how you receive the Word of God and how you live out the Word of God. And you can see how God, through His Word, reminded us of that in Joshua 1, verse 8. Well, as we come to verse 2, we're reminded here that God wanted Joshua to lead the Israelites into the Promised Land. In chapter 2, actually, I'll go to verse 2 of chapter 1 to begin with. You'll see the beginning here. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." God wanted to take the Israelites from being wilderness wanderers to being Canaan conquerors. And in order to do that, they had to cross the flooded Jordan River. You might remember I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. As far as man was concerned, it was the worst time to cross the Jordan. I've been to the Jordan River and had the privilege of baptizing some people there. And in these days, the Jordan River, when it wasn't flooding, was about 100 feet wide. When it flooded in the springtime, it would be up to a mile in width. So a miracle had to take place for God's people to get over to the Promised Land. And indeed, as you read the book of Joshua, you'll see that God did a wonderful miracle for them. Now, before they went over to the River Jordan, before they went into the land of Canaan, the Promised Land, Joshua sent two spies to go to the city of Jericho. And you read that in verse 1 of chapter 2. "Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there." In Joshua 2 verse 1, we have the first mention of Rahab. And Rahab is described here as a harlot, a prostitute. And the spies end up at her house. You might say she had a reputation of being a shady lady in Jericho. They go to her house and we'll read what takes place. But when we look at the life of Rahab, we actually see the grace of God reaching out to an unworthy woman living in a condemned city. When I see Rahab's story, I'm reminded of my own story. And all of us here who've been saved by grace, we should be reminded of our own stories, that we are unworthy people, that we actually live in a condemned world, that this world is due for judgment, but God in His grace and love sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary so He could take the harlots of the world, the sinners of the world, the thieves of the world to heaven, because Jesus paid the price for them. Well, there's five things I want us to look in relation to the life of Rahab. Firstly, I want to see us to see the condemnation. Rahab lived in a condemned city. Jericho was a condemned city. Secondly, I want us to see in Rahab's life the conviction. She had some major convictions about God. Thirdly, in Rahab's life, we will see the concern. She was concerned for her family, that they be saved from the judgment to come. Fourthly, I want us to see the commendation. The Bible actually commends Rahab as a woman of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And fifthly, I want us to see the connection. Rahab had a direct connection to the Lord Jesus. Do you know that? I'm going to explain that to you. Now, that's 5 points, and you're probably thinking, well, it's going to take 10 minutes a point. Hopefully not. We'll go through them fairly quickly. But let's see, first of all, I mentioned that Jericho was a condemned city. Rahab lived in a condemned city. It was a city due for judgment. When the Israelite army was going to go into the land, that city of Jericho was going to be burned by the Israelite army. It was going to be totally destroyed. And that destruction was part of the judgment of God. Judgment was coming to the Canaanite nations. The Canaanite nations in the Promised Land were actually very wicked people. Deuteronomy 9 verse 3 says this, "Therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you, so you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, 'Because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land.' But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." God gave promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, promises of a land, but the enemies had to be driven out. So Rahab here is living in a condemned city, a city of wickedness, a city that was ripe for judgment. And as I mentioned, Jericho is going to be destroyed by Israel's armies. Secondly, I want us to see in Rahab's life conviction. There was conviction in the heart of Rahab. She was convicted about several things. Joshua 2 verse 3, "So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country.' Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened, as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them.' But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof." Now, Rahab makes a statement to the spies that had come to her house. And she makes a statement that indicates that she knows something of the true God, the God of Israel. Verse 8. "Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." She's convicted, and she makes some great statements. Verse 9 there, "I know that the Lord..." The word is Jehovah there. "I know that the Lord has given you the land." Verse 11, another conviction that she had, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." When a person becomes a Christian, they are actually convicted of a number of things. One of the convictions that they come under is, first of all, that there is a God in heaven. Sadly, there are numbers of people, perhaps millions of people in Australia, that have no idea that there is the one God, the one true God in heaven. She was convicted of that. And when you become a Christian, you're convicted that there is a God. You're not an atheist. You are convicted. How does God convict us? Well, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. You only have to look at the heavens. You only have to look at creation, Romans chapter 1. God reveals himself through creation. So she was convicted, I believe, of the Creator God. She also knew that judgment was coming. She also knew that God was a miraculous God. God had done great things for the nation of Israel. The third thing we see in Rahab's life is that, in relation to her convictions, is that there was a way of salvation from the judgment to come. You see, God's servants told her how her and her family could be saved. Joshua 2 verse 18. When we come into the land, this is the spy speaking, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own house, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever it is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. Verse 21. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. So she hides these spies, and the spies escape by a scarlet-coloured cord. She lets them down the wall. Her house is on the city wall. She lets them down the wall on that. You might say, modern days, what will we do? Well, we'd abseil down. Well, she lets them down on this scarlet cord. But what she was to do was that she was to bind the scarlet cord in the window. The scarlet cord was to be visible to the armies of Israel. And any soldier that saw the scarlet cord in the window, they were not to touch that house. Judgment was to pass over that house because of the scarlet cord. What does that remind you of in the scriptures? Actually, it reminds you of the blood, doesn't it? When God's people were in Egypt, they were to put the blood over the doorposts of their house. And the angel of death, when the angel of death saw the doorposts covered in the blood, he would pass over that house. That house wouldn't come under the judgment of God. Well, that was one thing that she was convicted of, that there was going to be judgment, and she was also convicted, and we know by reading the rest of the book of Joshua, to obey God's servants. She put the scarlet cord in the window. She did what they said, and she and her household were saved. There was condemnation for the city of Jericho. There was conviction in the heart of Rahab. There was concern for others in Rahab's heart. Look at verse 12. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She was concerned for others. She knew that judgment was coming, and she was concerned for her family there. Fourthly, I want us to see the commendation of Rahab's life. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, I don't know if you've ever been to Longreach in Queensland. There's a famous place there. Does anyone know it? Apart from Qantas, what else is in Longreach? It's the Stockman's Hall of Fame. I got the right town, haven't I? In the right place? Stockman's Hall of Fame. And you go there and you can look on the walls and you can see all the famous stockmen of Australia. Well, when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, it's God's Hall of Fame of people of faith. And what do you know? Rahab appears in Hebrews chapter 11, God's hall of fame. Hebrews 11 verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. This commendation of Rahab's life there in Hebrews chapter 11 as a woman of faith. Fifthly, I want us to see the connection. Rahab had a direct connection to the Lord Jesus. If you look at the family line of the Lord Jesus, Rahab became an ancestor in the royal family line from which Jesus came as Saviour. David was a descendant of Rahab, and Jesus was a descendant of David. Matthew 1 verse 5, Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. So Rahab married Salmon. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. David the king begot Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. So she is taken into a family line of royalty. When I was at Bible college, I was amazed that Rahab was in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. A woman that was a harlot was taken from a condemned city, and she's put into the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. She had a connection. A despised woman was the ancestor of kings. You know, when we read about Rahab's life, it shows me that God is not willing that any should perish. There are people in wicked cities today all over the earth, but God does not want them to perish. He wants them to come to the Lord Jesus. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Rahab's life shows us that we have a God of grace and mercy who desires to reach out to the undeserving. You might remember the life of the Lord Jesus. One of the things the Pharisees criticised Jesus for was hanging out with the people that society or Israelite society deemed ungodly. Mark 2 verse 15, "Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house," that's Matthew the tax collector, "that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, 'How is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?' When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" God called a sinner in the city of Jericho to repentance. God called her to faith. God called her to salvation. Now I just want to summarise these things and look at what we have in common with Rahab today. Firstly, as I mentioned, Rahab was living in a condemned city. City of Jericho was going to come under the judgment of God. It was a sin-filled city with a sin-filled people, and it was going to be destroyed. You know, today we're living in a sin-filled city here in Newcastle. There are sin-filled cities all over Australia and all over the world. In actual fact, the Apostle John in 1 John 5 verse 19 says, "The whole world lies in wickedness." The whole world today is ripe for judgment. Something about the Canaanites, they were known for their false gods and their child sacrifices. You see this in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 30. "Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods," with a little g, saying, "How did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods." Canaan was known for a land of false gods, and Canaan was known as a land of child sacrifices. And when we think of the world today is known for false gods, and the world also is known for child sacrifices. I Googled how many gods are there in the world, and you wouldn't believe how many people think how many different gods are there. Let's say there are possibly millions of false gods today in our world. Our world is ripe for judgment because people right throughout the world are worshipping false gods. Sad to say that right throughout the world there are child sacrifices as well. I looked up some statistics, and the World Health Organization estimates that there are approximately 125,000 abortions in the world every single day. And that translates to around about 40 to 50 million abortions every year. There are children that are murdered. There are children that are sacrificed around the world. Some children are aborted because they're the wrong sex. Some children are aborted just because it doesn't suit a husband or wife at a particular time materialistically, and they abort their child. All different reasons. And unfortunately, there are women around the world that are pressured into abortions that don't want abortions. Jericho was ripe for judgment. Canaan was ripe for judgment because of the false gods and the child sacrifices that were going on. And our world is ripe for judgment. 2 Peter 3 verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" In this condemned world, we are called to be different. We are called to be holy. We're called to be holy in our conversation and also in our conduct. We are called to be the salt and the light of the world. Secondly, we're reminded that there was conviction. There was conviction in the heart of Rahab. And I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been convicted of your sin? Have you ever been convicted that there is actually judgment to come? And the way that I look at the world and what I see happening in America and throughout the world today and in Australia, I believe the judgment is closer than we think. That Jesus may call his bride home at any moment, and terrible judgment will fall on this earth. There was conviction in the heart of Rahab. Conviction that there was God in heaven. Conviction that he'd done miracles. And conviction that there was going to be judgment to come upon her city. She was also convicted, or she had a concern for others. And the concern for others, we see, was for her family. She didn't want her family to come under the judgment. And so in obedience, she puts out the scarlet cord in the window. She had concern for others. As I mentioned, there was commendation. The Bible commends her as a woman of faith. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. I wonder, are you looking for commendation from the Lord Jesus? When I get to heaven, I want to hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Don't you want to hear those words? The Lord has put us on this earth to warn others. He's convicted us of our sins. He's convicted us that other people are going to perish. He's convicted us that we should be serving him, that we should be praying, that we should bring the needs of others to him. Are you convicted? I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to be serving the Lord when Jesus comes. Lastly here, I want us to see the connection again. Rahab had a direct connection to the Lord Jesus. She became an ancestor in the royal family line from which Jesus came as Saviour. As I mentioned, Rahab married Salmon, and he was from the tribe of Judah. And Rahab became the mother of Boaz. And Boaz was the great-grandfather of King David. And Jesus was in the family line of King David. If you're a Christian, you have a connection to the King. Isn't that wonderful? Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, "But now in Christ ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Ephesians 2:19, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Believers in Jesus Christ are part of the bride of Christ, and we are heirs with the Lord Jesus. Just as she, a foreigner, a Gentile, was taken into God's family in the nation of Israel, and she married, you and I are part of the bride of Christ. You and I who are distant, you and I who are sinners deserving of hell, are brought near by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And one day there's going to be a marriage ceremony in heaven where the bride comes together with the Saviour, the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are heirs with the King. Romans 8 verse 16. "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." She came into the family of the King, and we are joint heirs with the King, the Lord Jesus. I'm looking forward to being a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't deserve to be a joint heir, but brought into his family by the grace and love of God. I don't know if you've ever seen that play. It came out in 1977. It was called Annie. Did anyone ever see Annie? They made it into a movie, I think, in 1982. I think our kids were in it at school, weren't they, Judy? I remember a dog on a stage. Was that right? The musical, yeah, yeah. There was this dog on the stage at Tamworth there, and our kids, a couple of them, played a part in Annie. But I don't know if you know the story of Annie, because there's a little bit of a parallel story. Annie's an orphan who becomes an heir to a very wealthy man called Mr. Warbuck. Annie ends up leaving the hardship of an orphanage and enters into a caring relationship with an adoptive father. She goes from virtually having no possessions to having a fortune at her disposal. Remember the song she sings? "Tomorrow, tomorrow." You remember that song? I can't sing, so I won't. But the words go like this: "The sun will come out tomorrow, so you got to hang on till tomorrow, come what may. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. You're always a day away." There was a new day coming for Annie. "The sun will come out tomorrow," she says. There's a new day coming for the Christian. One day, the sun will come out. He'll come in the clouds, and there'll be a new tomorrow for his people, and we'll share in a wonderful inheritance as we are joint heirs with the King. Beloved, now we the sons of God, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Rahab lived in a condemned city. Secondly, there was conviction in the heart of Rahab. Thirdly, there was concern for others. I hope that you are concerned for the salvation of others. Pray for the salvation of others. Do what you can while you can to bring other people to the Lord Jesus. Fourthly, she's commended as a woman of faith. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And fifthly, she had a direct connection to the Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much that we can have a direct connection to the Lord Jesus, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Lord, we look at our world and we see that it's a condemned world, ripe for judgment. But Lord, help us to have a concern this year for people that do not know Jesus as Saviour. Father, we thank you so much that you reached out to Rahab. You provided a way of salvation for her in that condemned city. And we thank you, Father, in this condemned world, you've reached out to us through Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, shed his blood on that cross as our Redeemer, rose again on the third day, and gives eternal life to all who would trust in him. Father, we thank you for the joy of salvation, and help us to have a concern for a lost world that is soon ripe for judgment. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.